This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Happy weekend, everyone. Welcome to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you on the first weekend of June 2017. It's going to feel a little bit like late spring, early summer, as we'll talk about in the forecast in just a few moments. Thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully you had a nice week. Hopefully you were able to enjoy a shortened four-day work week and maybe got some time in with family, or you went to the cemetery and paid respects to loved one, or remember those who have passed away before, military and whatnot. So hopefully your Memorial Day week turned out well. The Indy 500 race was run on time, on schedule, and great race there. And hopefully everybody tuned in here to WGCL and enjoyed the program. And things are okay. Could be worse, could be better. But we'll leave that for another day and another conversation. Flying solo for a little bit, Dr. Piller is on assignment this week. He is gearing up to help out with MCCSC's graduation on Saturday. And both MCCSC and RBB are on the books for their commencements for the class of 2017. Congratulations to all of the seniors. We've had a few of them on from both schools over the last couple of years with the Habitat Build and the Contest of Champions over at Edgewood. So congratulations, best of luck to the seniors. And one thing that somebody told me years ago that I really didn't expect to believe but has proven to be true is that when you are in that moment sitting in the gymnasium, the auditorium, whatever the case may be, and you are in with all of your classmates that you have grown up with or who you've known just for a couple of years, depending on the situation, it will be the last time you ever see at least one of those people in your life. And it's kind of a weird feeling to think about it that way when you're 17, 18 years old and you think, you know, I've gone to school with these kids and classmates and, you know, Facebook and social media and all of those kinds of things. And granted, I'm from a little bit different generation in that, but yet it's true. There are people that I went to high school with and I've lived in Bloomington my whole life who I have never seen since we graduated back in June 1994. So hopefully everybody's well and no ill feelings or anything. It's just an amazing situation to think about that people that you grew up with for 18 years, suddenly that's the last time. So keep it in mind. Say your goodbyes, your farewells, your great to for the next chapter, whatever the case may be. Mend some fences, if you will, and onward and upward you go, class of 2017. We have a packed show for you tonight. Erin Erdman-White is going to be joining us. She is with Visit Bloomington. We'll be formally introducing her in just a few minutes. A lot of things coming up in Bloomington and Monroe County over the next several weeks, including the Limestone Comedy Fest, which started yesterday, Thursday night, and we'll run through the weekend. Taste of Bloomington's coming up in just a couple of weeks, so we'll talk about that as well. And a lot of different things that are available when you go to the visitbloomington.com website. So Erin Erdman will be on in just a little bit to share about all of that. Of course, facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview and wgclradio.com as well. If you miss any part of this show, if you miss any of the past shows, you can always go over to wgclradio.com and listen to the replays there. And of course, the streaming online audio is available as well. So if you are listening from afar and you want to listen to WGCL anytime, just go over there to the website, press the play button, and away you go. Going to take a break. Plenty of news to talk about as well. And again, a very nice forecast for the weekend. And then we'll have Erin on in just a little bit. Some sports action for you as well. A full hour. So stick with me. It'll be a good time, I promise. We'll be back in just a couple of moments here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you in a very nice forecast for the weekend. Friday night tonight, mostly clear, a low around 61. Then on Saturday, sunny with a high near 84. Saturday night will be mostly clear as well with a low around 63. And then on Sunday, slight chance of rain and thunderstorms in the late afternoon, but partly sunny with a high near 84. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week, the highs are going to be in the mid-70s to 80, and the lows are going to be in the mid-50s. In other words, perfect weather. Hopefully some low humidity tied into that as well. But of course, all your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and of course WGCLRadio.com. A $4.3 million facility is being built at the West Gate at Crane Technology Park in Odin and will house Virginia-based Allion Science and Technology. Allion is a science and engineering technology solutions contractor for the U.S. Department of Defense and private customers around the world. The company will join more than 35 defense industry tenants in the tech park, serving the $2 billion Crane Technology Center and other defense contracts, according to a press release on Friday. Allion is expected to occupy the 40,000 square foot space after its completion in December 2017. They currently have offices in Bloomington and Fountain Square Mall, and the multi-use expansion in Daviess County is expected to generate new technology jobs in the region, according to the press release. 40,000 square foot facility that will be added to Westgate at Crane Technology Park is more than 250,000 square feet in technology and commercial facilities, and Allion joins more than 460 professionals already working in the park. Phil O'Haver is the chairman of the Daviess County Economic Development Corporation. He's a member also of the Westgate Authority, a nine-person council overseeing the certified technology park. Very nice, because Crane is a huge asset to our area. Sometimes we forget about that it is such a huge organization and defense contractor, but the work down there that they do is much needed across the globe. Special judge will hear the city of Bloomington's lawsuit regarding the state blocking the city's attempt to annex nearly 10,000 acres. On Wednesday, Monroe County Circuit Court Judge Francie Hill removed herself as the presiding judge of the case filed in her court, according to documents filed on Thursday. Both parties named in the suit now have 7 days to agree on an eligible special judge to take on the case, or if parties fail to agree on a special judge, one shall be appointed to the case. According to the Herald Times, as part of procedure, Governor Eric Holcomb is named as the defendant in the lawsuit. City Attorney Mike Rauker said the lawsuit was delivered to the Attorney General's office on Tuesday, according to the United States Postal Service tracking records. Rauker said the Attorney General has until June 16th to file an answer to the city's complaint. Corey Elliott is the press secretary for the Office of the Indiana Attorney General, said in an email Thursday afternoon, quote, "The Indiana Attorney General's office has received this lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of an act of the General Assembly. As the lawyers for state government, we will defend the challenge law and represent the state in this legal challenge," end quote. The city argues in the lawsuit, legislation approved and signed into law by the governor in April effectively killed Bloomington's annexation plans and targets the city, as well as violates the state's constitution prohibition on, quote, special legislation. The legislation that stopped Bloomington's annexation attempt came as part of a last-minute amendment to the state's biennial budget bill. And as we've repeated here many times, as well as other news sources, it states that any municipality that had an annexation plan in place at the beginning of the year had to stop the process immediately, and also prohibits the municipality from revisiting annexation for 5 more years. Mayor Hamilton and his administration had spent more than $770,000 on annexation, relating to financial consulting, legal services, mailings, communications, surveying, and hiring court reporters before the state legislation killed the annexation plan. It was a very sad situation on Highway 37 the weekend of Mother's Day when an 11-year-old girl was killed in a car accident. A 21-year-old Greenwood woman was southbound on Highway 37 in a beige Impala, and a 50-year-old man, Franklin man, and a passenger were northbound on Highway 37 in a Chevy Silverado. According to an Indiana State Police news release, the bicyclist, who had been northbound on Indiana Highway 37, crossed the northbound lanes in violation of state law. The cyclist was slowing before going across the southbound lanes when he lost his balance in loose sand and fell off of his bicycle. He landed, according to a witness, partially in the path of the Impala. That driver, according to police, then took action to avoid the bicyclist, however, sent her car sliding and spinning counterclockwise into oncoming traffic as she crossed the median. The pickup truck hit the car with full force on the passenger side after the driver applied his brakes and ran over a construction barrel while trying to avoid the collision. And why this is being brought up yet again, and this source is from the Herald Times, no charges have been filed in connection with the accident pending the results of a toxicology test, according to Indiana State Police Sergeant Kurt Dernal. He said in an email Tuesday this week that troopers are still waiting on the toxicology reports before sending it to the prosecutor, and once those are in, the prosecutor will make the decision. However, a recently released ISP report said blood samples were taken from the drivers of both vehicles, but not the bicyclist, whom a trooper interviewed at the Bloomington, Indiana State Police post after the accident. He admitted knowing, quote, he was not allowed to cross the median and that there had, and that there was a sign not allowing left turns, according to the report. And there were also fence-like barriers and construction barrels to keep traffic from crossing the highway. Eagle Point had a rough week on the south side of Bloomington this week, but they reopened on Wednesday afternoon after clearing up what its owner said was a misunderstanding between the business and the Indiana Department of Revenue. Officials shut down Eagle Point on Tuesday morning, posting notices saying the business had violated tax code, although an Indiana Department of Revenue spokesperson could not comment on the specific violations. Owner Doug Thomas told the HT the issue stemmed from his business, Point Properties LLC, and the Point's former owner, TRML Eagle Point, filing tax reports for the same business during the same time period before the sale was finalized last year. Point Properties purchased the business in December and began managing it before the sale was completed. Thomas said the length of time Eagle Point has been operated by the new management would not be long enough for the business to owe any back taxes. The Indiana Department of Revenue sent a letter to Eagle Point notifying the owners that business would be closed if Point Properties could not provide requested tax documentation, though someone at the resort's front desk signed a form indicating the business received the letter. Thomas said the notice was not brought to the attention of management until it was too late. However, on Wednesday afternoon, law enforcement officials removed the sign saying Eagle Point had violated any tax code and the facility is back open for business. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Aaron Erdman-White from Visit Bloomington is going to be on to share a lot of fun stuff going on in the area over the next several weeks. So stick around. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you with a first-time guest in the studio, the director of Leisure Marketing and Media. You just told me this 10 seconds ago, Aaron. Did I get it right or did
you
I get
did.
It?
You did. You got it right.
Aaron Erdman, now Aaron White, congratulations
on your
recent nuptials.
Yes.
You got married on the day where it started out rainy and nasty and everything on a Saturday, and it got nicer as the day went on.
It did. The rain literally quit at the last possible second before the day started to go sideways. And then the sun came out, and then the steam started rolling out of the grass, and it was very hot.
which would probably make for a very cool photo shoot, though,
I'm still anxiously awaiting to see the photos, but
oh,
yes.
Really?
Yeah, still haven't. I've seen a couple teasers, but not any big ones yet. So yes, very exciting.
Before we get into all the discussion of the Visit Bloomington, where did you get married at?
We got married at Beck Chapel.
Okay.
And then we had our lovely wedding reception at the convention center.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank
Good
you.
Good for you. Well, congratulations to you.
Thanks so much.
Erin is joining us, like I mentioned, first time in the studio. She is with Visit Bloomington. And since Julie Warren has moved on to her next chapter, Erin is jumping in, which we are excited. And you and I have known each other for quite a while now.
Yeah, we have.
And before we came on the air, you were talking about, Joe Smith and Glass and Brad Holtz and all these different people. So it's not like you're unfamiliar with the station or anything like that.
Loyal listener, right?
Good.
So what do they say?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
That's exactly how I feel right now.
The phone lines are not lighting up right now, Aaron, so you may be the only one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, for our listeners, regular listeners, we know that we've had Julie on in the past and now Aaron now to talk about different events coming up in Bloomington and Monroe County. And we just wrapped up Memorial Day weekend, of course. Lots of things with that, with the 500. Did we see a lot of 500 visitors down in the Bloomington area?
We see some, and it just kind of depends each year. Last year for the 100th running, we obviously saw an incredible pickup, but with the folks coming down for Lake Monroe and the great weather this weekend, we definitely had some visitation.
Mm-hmm.
But Indy saw a bulk of that.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up in Bloomington, with it being the first weekend of June. Lots of big things going on with laughter, because it's the Limestone Comedy Festival.
Indeed. Starting tonight, the Limestone Comedy Festival is in its fifth year, which is super exciting. Co-founders Matt Alano Martin,
yep,
and Jared Thompson are just, you know, going to knock it out of the park once again. I'm completely sure of that.
And they host this at a variety of venues, mm-hmm, in Bloomington, correct?
They do. So the Buskirk Chumley Theater, the Bishop, the Back Door, and the John Waldron Art Center.
Okay. And tickets are available, are necessary for all of these shows.
That is correct.
But you can buy like a bulk pass or individual, if I'm not mistaken?
Exactly. You can purchase tickets for individual shows, or you can buy passes for one evening or both evenings or for the whole event. You've got VIP, VVIIPP, general admission.
Jared came up with that one, I'm sure.
But all sorts of different things. But the legendary Colin Quinn,
yes,
will be there.
And MTV and
Saturday Night Live.
Yes, but what was the show on MTV that the game show that he used to host?
Oh.
He was the co-host with Ken Ober. We'll have to look it up in a minute.
Yeah,
I'll get
not
on the
sure
Goog
about that one.
And ask it. And maybe I'm older than you, so
just a smidge.
And well, thank you. And before we get too in depth, all the information that we're talking about, visitbloomington.com has all the answers, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
We sure do. Lots of links, lots of information.
So Limestone Comedy Fest this weekend runs through Sunday, I think?
Through Saturday night.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so get your tickets while you can, because with this show airing on Friday night and Saturday, limited shows available at this point.
Exactly.
Okay. And then you also mentioned it is Limestone Month.
Yes, actually. In June, Bloomington celebrates Limestone Month.
Okay.
And this year is actually our 10th anniversary of Limestone Month, which is hard to believe. Celebrating all things rocks. So Limestone Month rocks.
Okay.
In Bloomington. But lots of different things going on. You can find information on limestonemonth.com, but things like quarry tours, historic homes walking tours in, mm-hmm, Vinegar Hill, some events that are going on at the Fountain Square Mall, some photography exhibits,
mm-hmm,
limestone walking tours of campus, just really celebrating the heritage and history of limestone, what really helps shape our community.
And this is part of Monroe County and Lawrence County, is that correct?
So our two communities have collaborated to create events that celebrate limestone. But Visit Bloomington also has a great partnership with the Indiana Geological Survey at Indiana University, and they've been instrumental in the success of Limestone Month and have been a really great partner to work with.
Great. Okay. Well, what else do you have coming up throughout June? Let's talk and see what all we can discuss here.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've got some really fun things happening with the Buskirk Chumley Theater, Jenny, mm-hmm, Lewis with the Cactus Blossoms and Springtime Carnivore on June 4th at the theater.
Redheaded singer, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
So that should be a fun one. And then we've got some outdoor events going on, music in the park at the Waldron Hill and Buskirk Park, formerly known as the Third Street Park.
It still has that caveat,
no matter how long. I know.
I know, no offense to the city of Bloomington, but it will still be the Third Street Park.
It's true. And forgive me if I am pronouncing this incorrectly, Imminuri,
okay,
is the first show that's going on this summer with the music in the park.
Okay.
And that will be on June 9th.
When do they typically have a certain night of the week that they do these, or does it vary depending on the park? Or
I think it depends on the park, and I could be mistaken, but I think all of the Friday night concerts that happen at the Third Street, mm-hmm, formerly known as Third Street Park, happen on Friday evenings in the summer. But as you know, you can always log on to visitbloomington.com for more information about that.
When the Herald Times had the article about Mayor Hamilton going through downtown, and I can't remember what evening that was, Tuesday or Wednesday this week, I think, but there was a People's Park concert scheduled for that night also, so
yes.
I wasn't sure if they...
So they've moved the People's Park concerts that were on Tuesdays at noon to the evening time on Tuesday. So still happening on Tuesdays in the summer, but they've moved them to a little bit later in the evening. So trying to get a little bit more family action downtown, go grab a bite to eat, catch some live music, maybe get some ice cream afterwards.
Right, right.
Fun things like that.
You don't have a start date for Chocolate Moose's reopening by chance, do you?
No, but I did talk.
No offense to Hartzell's or anyone
downtown.
Oh, no, downtown.
They're all great. I yes. think that they're still on track to open up in August. So as far as I know, the apartments have to be built before school starts this year. So I think that they're really keeping their fingers crossed for a late summer opening.
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't hold you to that too hard.
But I'm really wanting some chocolate mousse ice cream. But, you know, you can get it every week at the Food Truck Fridays.
Right.
So from 11 to 9.
That's still, but all right.
It's not the same as walking up to the window and getting an ice cream cone.
Yes, with the pink and brown shingles above your head.
So good.
What else is coming up, my friend?
Oh, my gosh. Well, one of the things that I'm really excited about is the 5th annual Classic Car Show happening on June 10th at the Curry Auto Center.
Okay.
So I don't know if you are interested in classic cars.
My father was a street rider for many years, so
yeah, and I just think that's a really fun way to get out and see fun cars, maybe enjoy the hopefully sunny weather that mm-hmm. will be bestowed upon them that morning.
Right.
I know that it doesn't run all day. I unfortunately don't have the specific hours, but I know that it starts in the morning, and that's at the Curry Auto Center.
The one out on the east side of town.
East side off of College Mall Road.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's super exciting. And then Oliver Winery is hosting one of their events called Cork and Fork. Mm-hmm. If you've never had a chance to check out Creek Bend Vineyard. I knew that didn't sound right. Creek Bend Vineyard on June 10th. This month they're celebrating blankets, blues, and barbecue.
Okay.
So I know that there is a charge for that, but it's very much a family-friendly event. I believe that it's $10 in advance, $15 at the door.
Okay.
And if you're the designated driver, you can get in for $5. And children 12 and under are free.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So super fun, exciting event to get out and experience the vineyard, something that's not typically open to the public.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
That's really exciting.
Let's do two more before we have to take a break. What else have you got coming up? You've got a full list.
I know.
No worries.
Oh, the Dynamics will be at the Players Pub.
Yes.
Local favorite, Dynamics.
Yes.
That's also happening on June 10th at the Players Pub. And then Cardinal Stage Company is presenting West Side Story starting June 16th and running through the 25th at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. So depending on how hot it gets early in the summer, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for not too hot. It's
yes.
a great escape to go inside and watch a great show.
This is true. This is true. Have you ever been part of the planning side? Have you ever seen what they do for these productions and everything? Because
the stage development is intense.
Yes.
I mean, the amount of effort and lumber and everything that goes into the set designs and all of that stuff happening at Buskirk Chumley is pretty amazing.
It is. It
and
is.
They take it very seriously.
A colleague of mine and I from the Chamber of Commerce were at the John Waldron Arts Center, and they were showing us some of the backstage things, and everything is just amazing what they pull off.
Oh, absolutely.
And in these wonderful, quaint little buildings downtown Bloomington,
I know.
And like you walk in and there's this huge auditorium.
Yep, it's really awesome, and the sets always blow me away every show that they have.
Aaron Erdman-White from Visit Bloomington. We will be back in a couple minutes more to talk about some fun stuff coming up in Bloomington. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review, and the TV show is Remote Control. Thank you to the Google for helping out Mr. Old Man here, trying to remember his heyday kind of thing. Remote Control with Ken Ober and Colin Quinn, who Colin's going to be part of Limestone Comedy Fest.
Yes, happening this weekend.
And Aaron, being a few years younger than me, remembers him from MTV, or from Saturday Night Live as the host of Weekend Update, which
yes.
now that you say that, I do remember. He must have come after Dennis Miller.
Yes, I think you're right.
In the Norm Macdonald days,
yes.
and somewhere in that
90s. But before 90s. Jimmy Fallon and
yes.
Tina and
yeah.
Amy and,
yeah.
and all my close friends. I love them.
Are you BFFs with Amy and Tina?
I wish.
Where are you a 30 Rock fan or Parks and Rec fan?
Definitely Parks and Rec fan. Watched some episodes of 30 Rock, but I read Tina Fey's book.
Bossy Pants?
It's so good.
Yes.
So good. I love it. Love her. She's awesome.
I had never seen Parks and Rec until about 8 months ago. And a couple of people were like, if you make, just suck it up through the first season because it gets much better after that. And
yes,
it's become a favorite. Hallelujah for Netflix.
Absolutely. And, you know, all the Indiana tie-ins.
Yes.
A few Bloomington shout-outs. You can see Upland Brewing Company scattered throughout. Pretty cool.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
They've done some fun stuff.
Aaron is with Visit Bloomington, and we're just talking about some fun stuff that's going on over the next several weeks in Bloomington and Monroe County. And did you mention in the break Shakespeare in the Park? Is that coming
up? Yes, that's actually happening this weekend at the Waldron, Buskirk, and Hill Park, formerly known as Third Street Park.
Yes, we need to hashtag that, by the
way. Yes. Yeah. So I think that would be really fun. I've never participated in that. Well, obviously, I haven't participated, but I've never attended Shakespeare in the Park. But I think that could be a really fun activity to go to with your family.
It is. One of my neighbors is active in that. And
it is
an undertaking to put those on.
I can only imagine. Yeah. And hopefully the weather holds
out
for them, because I know they put a lot of effort into that.
Any kids things going on now that school's out? Have you got anything on there that might be any of interest to anybody?
Well,
or family friendly?
I just always love seeing all the families that come out on Saturday mornings to the farmers market.
Yes.
It's a great way to just engage with all different sorts of ages of people. You know, the live music that's happening, all of the foods and the different flowers that are coming out, engaging with your neighbors, and maybe popping down to Wonder Lab after that. They've got some limestone-related exhibits and fun activities going on this month, so that's super exciting. And then Food Truck Friday is always another fun way to get out and have fun with the littles. It's so fun to see them dancing to the live music that happens in the evenings on Fridays.
And for those who may not have participated in Food Truck Friday because of work and kids and activities, now that school is pretty much out, Food Truck Friday happens at the old post office location downtown off of between 4th and 3rd Streets.
Exactly, just off of Washington, in between Washington and Lincoln.
And goes till how late in the evening?
9 p.m. So from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. every Friday in the former post office parking lot.
Okay, so if you can't get there for lunch, dinner's always an option.
Yes, and the food is so good.
speaking of farmers market, because this is where it is held, Taste of Bloomington is coming up in a couple of weekends.
It is, June 17th, quickly approaching. From what I understand, there are over 40 restaurants participating.
Holy cow. There won't be any room for the eaters.
I know, it's so busy, but it's always so hard to choose what you get. But I know that the Yonko's ribeye sandwiches are always a cult favorite. So... But I try and branch out every year, but I just can't ever seem to do that. I always go back to the original stuff that I love.
And again, all of the things that we're talking about today, visitbloomington.com. If you've never been to Taste of Bloomington, shame on you, number one, unless you're new to the area. Number two, great music is tied into Taste of Bloomington as well.
Absolutely.
I haven't checked to see if Here Come the Mummies is playing this year.
I don't know for certain.
I
don't think they are either. But like That's Jim a- said, yeah, you can definitely check out tasteofbloomington.com for more information on all the musical performances. But, you know, that happens from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. But during the day, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., is Arts Fair on the Square.
Oh, that's
right. Which is the juried art show that happens. There are over 110 booths this year.
110?
It has grown tremendously over the last several years. Now, 6th Street and Kirkwood are closed in between College and Walnut. In addition to the courthouse lawn, there are vendors set up on both of those streets. So they've been able to expand. And it's a juried art show. So it's not just like anybody can come and peddle their wares.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that have been selected to sell their awesome arts and crafts.
When is 4th Street Arts Festival? Because that's in the fall, isn't it?
That's on Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
Yes. So this is a good way to get your art fix in on the 17th.
And is this, remind me, because I can't remember, is the art show that happens the morning of Taste of Bloomington, are these things that can potentially be bought? Or is this simply an art show where you're just a
observer? Everything's available for purchase.
Oh, okay.
Which is even better. But they have things from as simple as note cards and fun personalized greeting cards to large-scale paintings and stained glass and blown glass vases and all sorts of different things like that.
Okay.
Super exciting.
What else have you got on your upcoming list, my friend?
Well, also happening this weekend at the Bluebird Nightclub is Shooter Jennings, putting the O back in country.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Yep.
But that should be fun for all the folks who like the country music. And then kind of jumping ahead, we've got several other things happening in June. Well, a fair of the arts. So the arts fair that happens in conjunction on the second Saturday of the month with the Taste of Blooming, or excuse me, the Farmer's Market mm-hmm. is happening on June 10th. And that's always another great way to see art every second Saturday of the month. Kind of a fun gem to stumble upon. And then, like I mentioned earlier, the Vinegar Hill Limestone Walking Tour happening two different times, June 14th and June 23rd. At 4 p.m., more information on limestonemonth.com, free to participate. But mm-hmm. it's a really cool walking tour with Bethany Emmenheiser from the city of Bloomington. So we're really getting excited about that.
Seems like in the past, I recall that he was an Iron Eagle. The there was a movie that was filmed in Bloomington last summer, fall, something like that.
The Good Catholic?
I think that's who it was, and I don't know that it has premiered yet in town. And
I don't think so.
I didn't know if that was coming up, or
possibly.
Was it Lou Gossett Jr., maybe?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'll have to check the Goog on this one again as well.
Know.
But
thank God for Google. For real.
Somebody at work was talking about movies and coming out, and we talked about Blue Chips coming out in Bloomington back in the 1990s.
Oh.
And somebody said, well, didn't they film a movie here in Bloomington recently, and when's it premiering? And I don't know. So I'll check the Goog and
hard to
get
tell.
Back with all y'all.
Yes. And other family fun activities that I forget about, because I believe last weekend was the inaugural weekend of the season, is the Starlight Drive-In.
Oh, yes.
So always something to consider as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly which movies are playing this weekend, but know that they have them every weekend going on
right.
for the whole summer, which is super exciting.
Yep. And this is First Friday weekend also, correct?
It is First Friday and Gallery Walk happening the same this Friday evening, starting at 5 p.m. to mm-hmm. 8 p.m. And from what I believe, it is also Gallery Walk's 10th anniversary.
We haven't talked about your 10th anniversary. We'll get to that in a moment. But apparently there's a lot of 10ths going on right now.
There are. It's kind of, I guess 2007 was a fun year to start stuff.
And if you've never been on a Gallery Walk, this is not a ticketed event or anything like that.
Nope.
That you can just go online and kind of see who's doing what where and walk
exactly.
around downtown and enjoy.
There are 9 galleries that participate in Gallery Walk in the downtown area. So super friendly and walkable. And from what I understand, almost all, if not all, of the galleries are premiering new work for tomorrow's show. Yes, for Friday's show. So super exciting.
Good, 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 good. We've got a couple minutes left. Anything else on your list that you want to highlight? Any personal favorites? Any music? I mean, I know that things kind of calmed down with IU Auditorium during the summertime. So
they
no big shows there. And we talked about, what was it, BPP earlier?
BPP's...
Or Cardinal. Sorry,
Cardinal Stage. Yeah, West Side Story.
Yep.
And then one of the things that I'm really kind of...
Give me one of the goofy ones.
Well, I'm really getting excited about the Bloomington Garden Club's 28th Annual Summer Garden Walk happening on June 17th and 18th. Purchased a house last fall and have taken up yard work and planting flowers as my newest, most favorite hobby.
Yes,
so
yes.
I'm going to go check out all of the other yards in the area and see what I can take back to my own. And one of the bands that I'm getting excited about also is BJ Barnum, happening June 18th at the Bishop. If you've never been to a show at the Bishop, it's really cool because it's a super intimate venue where you get about, 100, 150 people going.
Mm-hmm.
Bands that are really kind of on the rise,
right.
A little bit more independent musicians, people that you wouldn't necessarily hear on the radio, a little bit less mainstream. So if you want to be like really cool,
mm-hmm.
you can go to the shows at the Bishop and, and listen to them before all of us hear about them like
sure.
2 years later. So that's super cool too. Really exciting.
Okay. Is the flower garden show, is there any cost to that at all? Do you know, or is it one of those,
I'm not sure.
You get the map and just drive around and look?
I believe that's the case, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
More information again on Visit Bloomington.
You're okay. That's where everybody needs to go, because that's where everything is at.
Exactly.
And so, all right, so 10 years with Visit Bloomington, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, June 1st, 10-year anniversary at the old Visit Bloomington. Hard to believe.
So with your slightly revised title and everything, so what all are you involved in with Visit Bloomington?
So I am responsible for all of the marketing of Bloomington as a leisure destination. So it's my responsibility to let people know about all of the awesome things that go on here by making sure that our kiosk calendars downtown are updated. We go, I manage our grant program, our visitors guide that gets published and distributed every year.
Everything that looks
pretty much
people
like
look at
everything
about Bloomington.
It seems like our social media, we've got some awesome staff on hand that really are very helpful, but those are the kind of major programs that I'm responsible for running. And then I also handle our media relations, so anytime there's a request from a TV station or a radio station or magazines, journalists coming to town, that is my responsibility too. I get to play the ultimate tour guide. It's super awesome.
Well, speaking of, I'm gonna throw you the curveball question that you weren't expecting, but surely you have an answer. If a journalist, if somebody says, "What's the hidden gem of Bloomington, Indiana?" I'm sure you have one.
Yeah, my hidden gem, always and forever, is the Lilly Library. It is a rare book library on campus. People don't realize when you look at it, you don't know that it's actually seven stories. There are several floors underground.
Okay.
It houses some of the world's most rare books, Jack Kerouac's original manuscript of On the Road, Ian Fleming's original manuscripts from almost all the James Bond books, the original Playboy, a super huge collection of comic books, Shakespeare's first folio. And one of the things that's most awesome about the Lilly Library is that you can literally go and touch all of these things. You can check these books and manuscripts and special collections out at the Lilly Library.
Mm-hmm.
If you give them a little bit of an advance notice, they will pull that stuff for you, and then you can flip through them. Perhaps with white gloves on.
I was going to say, you probably can't touch them skin to skin.
But with white gloves,
yes,
how cool is that?
That is.
It's really
amazing.
Neat. And the best of all thing I think is that it's free. So and the Slocum puzzle collection is really fun for kids too.
Okay.
Always, it's my favorite hidden gem in town.
I thought I was your favorite gem, but we'll leave that alone. Erin Erdman White, because she is newly married. First, congratulations
thank
on that
you.
Again. And thank you for coming on. Wonderful job.
Thank you.
We'll get you on every couple of months or so.
And for my first time, I was a little nervous, but
this is low key, my friend. Totally low key. No worries.
I'm excited.
And last, everybody can find this information more at
visitbloomington.com.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you again, Erin. Much appreciated. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Just a few minutes left in the program, so let's give you some sports highlights here. Of course, we had the Reds playing on WGCL tonight, Friday night, right after the show, 7:10. They're playing against Atlanta, and then they will be playing them again on Saturday, 4:10, for that first pitch here on WGCL. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, playing against St. Louis, and next weekend, they're playing against Los Angeles. Reds are currently fourth in the National League. They're 24-28 right now. Dr. Pillar's Cubs, they're third in the National League. They've struggled a little bit as well. They're 25-27 right now. They're going to be playing Saturday and Sunday against St. Louis, 2:20 on Saturday, 7:35 on Sunday. And then a three-game series against the Florida Marlins, followed up by the Colorado Rockies next week. So Cubs action as well to enjoy. And a shout-out to Dr. Pillar for that. IU men's baseball, great time at the Big Ten tournament over the weekend. They lost two against Minnesota and one against Michigan. However, they are playing tonight, Friday night, in Lexington, playing against North Carolina State, 7 o'clock for that first pitch. And then Saturday, they will play either Kentucky or Ohio. Of course, Chris Lemonis had his big 100th victory a week or so back. And so Hoosiers are going to end up being on the plus side of things for the season. And hopefully those of you listening out there had a chance to go to the Bart Kauffman Field. It was a little bit wet for the Big Ten tournament, but great experience for a lot of the ballplayers that came to Indiana for the weekend. Speaking of ball, kudos go out to the Edgewood Mustangs, the softball team out at Edgewood High School. They had a 4-1 win over Danville this week, and that is sending them off to the Jasper Semi-State. They're going to be playing on Saturday at 11 o'clock. Edgewood's current senior class was without any kind of championship trophy, but the Mustangs, as I mentioned, are slated to play number one New Palestine in the Jasper Semi-State on Saturday. Nice 4-1 victory. The Mustangs are 18-8 overall and stifled the Warriors 23-8 in Tuesday's regional game. Danville's strength was senior pitcher Emma Dwyer, who came in with a 1.57 earned run average. But the top of Edgewood's order came through in the first inning in the usual fashion. Peyton Acuff led off with a single. Junior left fielder Jenna LaRoche moved her with a sacrifice bunt, and then a wild pitch sent Acuff to third, where she was able to beat a throw home on a fielder's choice by Morris. So congratulations to the Lady Mustangs in their softball victory. Congratulations go out to former Hoosier quarterback Antoine Randall L. He's on the 2018 ballot for induction in the College Football Hall of Fame, according to the National Football Foundation. He's one of 75 players and 6 coaches from the Football Bowl subdivision and 98 players and 31 coaches from the Divisional Ranks division. If you don't know the name, you missed out. He earned all Big Ten distinction in 1999, 2000, and 2001, and was named Big Ten Freshman of the Year in 1998. He was the first player in NCAA history to score 40 touchdowns, actually scored 45 if you're counting, and threw for over 40 touchdowns, and the first to record over 2,500 total yards in 4 seasons. He also played in the NFL for 10 years with Pittsburgh and Washington and was a member of the Super Bowl champion Steelers back in 2005. And if you have not heard, IU football opening season date, August 31st, 8 p.m., Ohio State comes to town. We'll be back in a couple minutes to wrap up the show. Just a couple of minutes left in the program. Thanks again to Aaron Erdman White from Visit Bloomington and visitbloomington.com for joining us and sharing all kinds of fun stuff going on. Of course, as always, you can go to visitbloomington.com and see what's there and add your own events if you have things coming up in the not too distant future. Your forecast for the weekend, nice one, mostly clear on Friday night, low around 61. Saturday is going to be sunny with a high near 84. Saturday night, mostly clear, low around 63. And then a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms in the late afternoon on Sunday, partly sunny though with a high near 84. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, highs in the mid 70s to just shy of 80, lows in the mid 50s. All your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. A huge shout out to my high school buddy Jeremy Moore, talking about high school graduations at the beginning of the program. On Thursday, it was Jeremy Moore Day, and I love this. From the press release from the city of Bloomington, Mayor John Hamilton awarded Bloomington resident Jeremy Moore the Civilian Life-Saving Award for saving the life of a coworker who experienced a life-threatening cardiac incident. Moore began CPR as soon as he recognized his coworker was in distress, and Mayor Hamilton praised Moore on Thursday for his quick and appropriate response, which resulted in sustaining his coworker's life until medical personnel arrived. Moore was joined by his family, friends, and Curry Auto Center coworkers, as well as members of the Bloomington Fire Department and the man whose life he saved at the reception to honor him, where he was presented with the Civilian Life-Saving Award and a proclamation by Mayor Hamilton declaring Thursday, June 1st, Jeremy Moore Day. When asked about his CPR training, Jeremy mentioned learning CPR several years prior while attending college. And in the professional world of emergency services, Jeremy's actions and those of his coworkers at Curry Auto Center completed the first 2 steps in the chain of survival and were key to that coworker's survival. Great guy, good friend of mine. Haven't seen him for quite a while. We text and chat every so often, but congratulations to Jeremy for all of that. Wonderful job. You made a difference, and that is fantastic. Congratulations one more time to the class of 2017. MCCSC and RBB have their commencements on Saturday. Lots of people coming in town, lots of traffic, lots of restaurants going to be filled as well. So make sure that you treat all of our guests well and nice. Everybody have a great weekend. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview and WGCLRadio.com. We are out. Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye.